Great to gather together with you this morning here at Calvary Chapel. We do want to welcome each of you and pray that you found the worship time to be just that, a time to really worship the Lord and let the Lord minister to you. And now we come to this time of hearing from Him and His Word. So in that same way, we pray that God might encourage each one here this morning. But we do indeed count it a privilege to travel with you. And as Tim was just pointing out, there's so much going on. Even though we've hit summer, summer's not time to kick back spiritually. It's time to keep on growing. And the bulletin is an invitation to do so. And there's all kinds of great things going on around here. As Tim mentioned, next Sunday we have our guest speaker in. You know, when guest speakers come, I hope you see that it's not just a matter of coming and being blessed, which I trust you will be, but being a blessing to the pastor, in this case, the man coming to speak. Come out and encourage him and see what he has to say to you. And so come out and be a part of that. And all kinds of things going on. And ladies, you got that study starting. There's even a blog going on. I mean, we are high tech. Much going on, though. We do invite you to get plugged in all this. And then there's this really strange announcement in the middle. Ben Grise is in the USA. That's like a rhyme. I think Darla did that just to get a rhyme going or something. That's Ben right there. Hi, Ben. Good to have you home. Ben's out visiting here for a conference and all, but as you know, Ben was our youth pastor for quite a long time, grew up here at the fellowship, was a youth pastor, and left, and now he is the pastor over at Sydney, in the Calvary Chapel in Sydney, Australia. And he's home for a little bit, for a week or two. And there's an opportunity right here to come have some food, looks like. Whether it be food, yeah, dessert, hey. And, you know, go out and greet him and hassle him a little bit or something. I don't know. But good to have you here. And so go out. And so if you don't catch him this morning, or if you do, notice there's also a get-together plan for him coming up. I guess that's what, next Sunday night. All right. Good stuff. Good stuff. Much going on. So jump on board. Well, let's get into our time in God's Word together. We're traveling through the Bible. We're in the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus. So turn to Exodus and go to chapter 23. We're in Exodus 23 this morning. These gentlemen have come forward to make sure you have a Bible. Please raise your hand if you need one. They count it a privilege to pass one over to you. If you need to keep it, it's all yours. And for all of us, let's go to Exodus chapter 23 as we continue our study through the Word of God together. Exodus 23. Years ago, I visited a good friend of ours in Dallas, Texas. He's a pastor over there at Calvary Chapel, but we were visiting with him. But he was taking us for a drive, and we're going through one of the main freeways there in Dallas, and it was under construction. And I remember at the time he said, we that live here pretty much, we just all tell each other that this freeway will always be under construction. According to him, it was just perpetually under construction. They never seemed to finish it. They were just always working on that freeway, he said. So everybody, the locals, just said that was their perpetual construction site. Do you feel like a perpetual construction site? Anybody here recognize that you're under construction? Now, if you've already arrived and you're perfect, which some of you didn't raise your hand, so please come introduce yourself to me later. I want to meet you. By the way, I might have a few questions for you. But we are, aren't we? We recognize we're under construction. No one here has arrived. And that's hard on us because, let's face it, we've kind of grown up with and we have a desire for instant gratification. You know, we want everything to be now and we want it to be done now. I mean, computers, phones. Why do you buy another one? Sometimes you buy it because, it holds so much more, it has more memory, and that's a factor. But so often, what do you hear people say? Oh, it's so fast. This one's so much faster. I got to get this one. It's really fast. You know, look how fast this thing gets on the internet or whatever. And we want things fast. We want it now. You know, Lord, give me patience and can you give it now? That's how we think. You know, instant pudding. You can't, not regular, but you got to have instant pudding. And then you make instant pudding, you put it in the freezer, and what do you do? You wait for that 10 minutes, you can grab it and eat it. You know, we can't wait. Super glue. Instant drying super glue. You put it together. I know what you do. You're like me, huh? Real quick, you're going, I think I'll test it, see if it's dry already. Oops. But that's how we are. Well, we're going to learn this morning that God often doesn't work that way, does he? In the verses before us this morning that we're going to be looking at, we find the children of Israel are still there at the foot of Mount Sinai. As we saw in our time together last week, the Lord had brought them to this point, and he gave them what has come to be called the Ten Commandments. That was in chapter 20. Then he begins to move through and begins to expand on and add to and give them various instructions and exhortations and commandments through these chapters as we move through this section. But as we get now to this part of chapter 23, the latter part here, in just a moment you'll see of chapter 23, he begins now to talk also about how he's going to take them into the land that he has for them. He's promised them this land, and he's been giving them instructions about how they're to live there and all, but now he explains how he's going to actually take them into what he has for them. If you look at verse 20 of Exodus 23, we read this, "Behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared." So he's simply explaining, going to begin to explain to them how he's going to take them into the land that he has promised them. And that sets the stage for our focus this morning. Go down to verse 27 now, as he continues to amplify the process of taking them into all he has for them. Starting at verse 27 of Exodus 23. "I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come, and will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. And I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before you. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Little by little I will drive them out from before you, until you've increased and you inherit the land. And I will set your bounds from the Red Sea to the sea, Philistia, and from the desert to the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. You shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you." This morning, I believe we're called to consider how God sets before them and us this process by which he works in their lives as they move into the land. Now, considering how all-powerful God is, and considering that his desire is to see them victorious, the method he outlines as to how he's going to work this work for them and on their behalf and all is very interesting. God being God and wanting them to have the land and all, he could just do it instantaneously. But he says, that's not how it's going to happen. That's not how you're going to come into all I have for you. But that method is not just interesting on kind of a intellectual consideration for us. But remember, these things are written for us too. But it's very challenging as we consider its application. Because once again, we're going to see that the Israelites are an example, a type of us. And so, as it will be for them, so it often is for us. But the awesome thing to remember is this is all by his design. And it's meant to encourage us in this whole construction process that we're under. Look again at verse 29. He says, "I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you've increased and you inherit the land." Not going to do it all at once. It's going to be a step by step. It's going to be a little by little process as I bring you into all I have for you. I've called our time together this morning, little by little. Let's pray. Father, for the awesome time of worship this morning, we thank you. For your word, we thank you. Truly, it's the light unto our path. And Father, we are quick to confess, and we come in here recognizing and all that indeed we are under construction. But Lord, with you as the builder, with you as the architect, with the tools in your hands, we thank you for this whole process. Lord, you know us. You know those that are hurting and need comfort. You know those who perhaps need some challenge or exhortation, whatever it might be this morning. From your hand, it's good stuff. So would you help us, Lord? Help us to not just head consider this, but to heart yield. And I do pray that there would be an encouragement in this whole process of how you work, that there would be a joy remembering that you've committed to us, that you've begun a work that you're going to complete. So, Lord, now help us. Help us to truly lay hold of what you'd have for us in the midst of our circumstance, in the midst of these trials. Help us understand this whole little by little process. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Much here for us this morning, isn't there? The lot in this text, of course, is God's Word, and He has much for us. But let's zero in on a few things. Verse 27 again, as we make our way through all of this. Again, that's what we do around here. You'll discover quickly, I've got a little bug going on here, so I'm sure you'll be gracious about all that. I will send my fear before you. He's telling them how he's going to do this whole thing. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come, and will make your enemies turn their backs to you. In other words, they're going to run. They're going to run away. And I will send hornets before you, which will drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before you. In verse 27, the Lord says he's going to send his fear among the inhabitants of the land, amongst the enemies of the Israelites here. He's going to cause confusion among their enemies, that the enemies will turn their backs on them, that they'll flee, they'll run away. Now imagine if you're one of the Israelites. You're hearing God declare this. He's saying, I'm going to go there and I'm going to cause his fear to come upon them, and they're going to flee from you. And you might be saying, sounds good to me. Sounds pretty good to me, Lord. Get them. Go get them, Lord. Clear out the land. I'm all for that. But then he tells them how he will do this. What's he say? He says, he's going to do it, but he says, I will not drive them out all at once. I'm not going to do this thing all in 1 year, he says. I will not clear it all out and then have you move in. But you're going to begin to move in, and I'm going to do this thing step by step. As you come up against your enemies, as you come up against your trials, as you come up against these obstacles, I will do it little by little. Now, how might you respond to that if you're one of the Israelites? Lord, how come? Tell you what, Lord, I got an even better idea. Let's go to plan B here. Clear them all out right now. Just make everything smooth sailing from here on out. That way I can even see this whole thing before I even embark upon it. See, we might want him to do it that way. Lord, can't you just get rid of all my enemies all at once? Can't you finish this whole construction project on me all at once? Lord says, no, I'm not going to clear out the land completely. If I did that, it'll create a void, and all these animals and beasts and all will come in, and then you'll have to deal with them. See, either way, he's saying, you're going to have obstacles. So instead of defeating your enemies all at once, it's not going to be a once and for all thing. It's going to be an ongoing process. We live in an age where it's not neutral territory out there, and there'll always be an attack, always things coming at us, always things going on. So I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to give you the victory step by step. It's going to be little by little. Now remember again, the Israelites are a type, an example of us. They are a people, we've seen, who were delivered from their bondage in Egypt, from the world. Egypt in Scripture becomes an example of the world. And so just as they were delivered, they become an example of we as we receive Christ as Savior. He breaks the chain that sin had held us into and the bondage and slavery to sin. He sets us free. He brings us out of Egypt. So just as happened to them, so they are an example like us. And then God's desire, he says he's calling them out of Egypt, not to put them on hold or something, but he has a land, a place he wants to take them to dwell in, a place that is his place of promise and blessing and all he has for them. They're to go across the wilderness, cross the Jordan, and move into Canaan, the land of promise that he has for them. Now, it has kind of come down through the years that sometimes people portray the land of Canaan, the land on the other side of the Jordan, as heaven. And so the idea there is that this life we're in is a wilderness journey, and we make our way through it. But someday, either the Lord raptures us out of here, or we individually come to our time of dying, and then we arrive in Canaan. We'll cross over Jordan, crossing Jordan, representing death, and into Canaan, representing heaven. And so that has kind of come down to us. There's been songs about that, you know, how we're going to cross Jordan and arrive home in heaven and all. Don't get your theology from songs, unless the songs are from Scripture. But get theology from the Bible. See, there's some problems if you try to make Canaan a type of an example of heaven. That's what awaits us after we leave this life behind. First of all, a problem with that Canaan represents heaven would be this. Yes, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, in other words, a land of blessing and all. But it's a land also where they're going to go on to have many battles and fights with their enemies. Does anybody here really believe that describes heaven? Yeah, I'm looking forward to get to heaven because there are going to be all these battles there and fights. No. Another reason Canaan doesn't represent heaven is this. As we see right now, it says they're going to possess Canaan little by little. Does that fit your understanding of heaven? Well, I get to heaven, but I only get to go in little by little. No. So Canaan is not a good example of heaven. Well, Pastor Dale, if Canaan is not an example of heaven, what's an example of? Well, what does it say? It's the land that God has for them, that even in the midst of the struggles and battles, it'll be the land of promise and blessing. Canaan is an example of the Spirit-filled life that God has planned for every believer. That place where we live in fellowship with Him, surrendered to Him, walking in those promises and blessings He has for the Christian. There are still struggles and battles there, but as we see here, but He's with us, guiding and directing it and providing it all through it. All Christians, if you receive Christ as Savior, have been brought out of Egypt. Remember, a type of the bondage to sin and darkness that we used to be in. We've all been brought out of that Egypt. The chains are broken, thank God. But God's desire isn't just to deliver us from the bondage of sin and the old life and all of that, any more than it was just His desire to deliver the Israelites from Egypt. That wasn't His only part of all this. It wasn't just to get them out of Egypt, then, okay, hope you make it. No, it was to take them out of that. It was to deliver them from Egypt, but it was also then to take them into where they'd live in the place of promises and blessings that He has for them. And so it is for the believer, that He'd take us into that place of living in that full fellowship with Him, that surrendered life, that life that lives in a sensitivity to, a responsiveness to the Holy Spirit that He has placed in every believer. But unfortunately, for too many Christians, for too many believers, yes, they have come out of Egypt. They understand, saved from the penalties, the consequences of sin. The Lord's payment on the cross, paying the price. So yes, come out of Egypt. But then at that point, whether it be lack of teaching or an understanding or whatever, they just kind of wander in the wilderness in their Christian experience. Yes, saved, but so far short of all God has. Again, maybe not understanding that they're there or how to go about that He offers it. But that's the awesome thing. He does offer it. The challenge is, how many receive it? How many live in it? He wants to take us into that place. And so too many Christians live in this sort of limbo land, out of Egypt, but not into the Spirit-filled life that God has planned for them. Duped by this world that they still need something else out there or something, and therefore coming short of all God would have. See, the crossing over Jordan represents that idea of we reckon the old man dead, the old nature dead, as Paul said. And now we live in the Spirit. And that's to be the everyday experience for the believer. It represents moving into the life walked in the control of the Holy Spirit and walked by faith. Forced by faith and surrender to the Holy Spirit that you experience that Spirit-filled life. that place of blessing and promises and all that he has for you. But just as it will be for the Israelites, as they do indeed finally do move into the land that's up ahead, but so will it be for us, that even in the spirit-filled life, even in that surrendered place, there will be battles ahead. There will be the Hivites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites. Meaning, there will be those struggles. There'll be those temptations. There'll be trials. There'll be battles, internal and external. Because we are under construction. And it's a step-by-step, as he's saying. And the Lord's simply saying, rather than just cleaning out every enemy right off the bat, God so often says, he says, what he so often does is, this is going to be a little by little thing. This will be an under construction process until the day he takes us home. For that is the case. We're not going to arrive until he does indeed take us home. God calls us to walk with him. He offers us awesome privilege of walking with him. To go forward in him. Go into all God has for you is the call. But as we do indeed find there are still enemies in the land. Meaning there are still those attacks. The enemy of our soul himself throwing darts at us. There are so many, the culture, everything just trying to tug at us, trip us up. There are strongholds in our own lives that we need to be delivered from. And again, if you've walked with the Lord very long, this is not a newsflash to you. You of course know this. You're finding this to be true in your journey with the Lord. That even when we walk in the Spirit, there are new battles all the time. And there will be in this life's journey. Now, often we wish it weren't like that. Often we do wish. We want to see the whole way clear right now. Lord, can't you totally take away all the trials, all the temptations, all the attacks? And by the way, can you go ahead and just change me right now? Boom. Just make me like Jesus right now. You know, and that's, well, yeah, Lord, I vote for that one, Lord. Just change everything external and internal in an instant. That's what we'd like to see. Lord, open up the whole land ahead of me. Drive back all my enemies right now. Then I'll enter in, Lord. Then I'll go forward. But see, sometimes that's the problem. We want the Lord to clear the whole land out before us. Then we're going to check it out and see if we agree this is a good deal. Lord, show me how you're going to do this. Clear everything out right now. Make it all, now, then I'll step out. Well, that's not faith, is it? But that's so often what we want. And then we come up against something. Well, I don't get it, Lord. Don't you love me? What's going on? But he says, it's going to be a little by little thing. And the scripture tells us, we don't be surprised, it says. Don't think a strange thing when you encounter trials. Because that's how this journey works. 2 Corinthians 5:7, we're told we walk by faith, not by sight. It's not, Lord, clear everything out, then if I agree, then I'll go forward. It's looking up, so to speak. Not just always looking around and needing it to be the way we think it should be. Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what's the idea? We're to walk in the Spirit, led of the Spirit, and we're to walk by faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please God, the Bible tells us. That's what he wants. So he's going to do this step by step. Will he find us walking step by step with him? In faith. Whatever you face, whatever you're up against, make sure we understand how God chooses to work. This whole awesome process. Now look again at verse 29. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you've increased and you inherit the land. Little by little. As we come up against the temptations, the battles, the attacks, God will deal with them for us. But by doing it the way he set this thing up, notice the impact, the effect, the result of it. God's way keeps us looking up, doesn't it? We never reach the point where we said, thank you, God, I see it smooth sailing, I'll take over from here. Just give me the steering wheel, Lord. I'll see you at the end of this life's journey. It's not like that. But it draws us to keep looking up to Him. It keeps us relying upon Him. See, He saved us that we might walk in constant fellowship with Him. He desires that for us, and He knows it's what we need. It's what we've been created for. We were never meant to tackle the things of our day on our own. Thank God we don't have to. But we can walk step by step with Him. And that's the awesome invitation. And it keeps us relying upon Him, who's so much beyond our wisdom and strength that we'd be foolish to do otherwise. But this way does indeed draw us to and cause us to walk in faith. And that's the test. That's what He wants to see. That's what pleases Him. Will we trust Him? Will I rely upon Him? Do I always have to have the answers? Do I always have to have it open before me? Show me what you're doing. Or will I say, no, God, you're enough. You're sufficient. See, it's really kind of sorts us out, doesn't it? It's a way of examining us, what we're really about. As we face the trials of life, He is there with us as we go through them. And there will be Jerichos. Meaning there will be times of victory. When they enter the land, they come up against Jericho, big walls. What's going to happen? God gives them the victory. Their part, just obey and do what I told you to do. And He gives them the victory. But then next they come to Ai, where they say, thanks God, I can take it from here. Boom. Down they go. See, they're an example of us. Left to ourselves, disaster. But daily looking to Him, little by little, He takes us in and gives us each victory as we come up against that thing. But the point is, the war is going to continue. Construction process will always be going on. And there are those enemies outside of us, and there are those that enemy within us, our own flesh nature. And we need to remember, we're going to be fighting them our whole lives. Now, it's been said, salvation is the work of an instant, and sanctification is the work of a lifetime. Sanctification is that big theological term that means making us like Jesus. It's that process of conforming us into the image of Jesus. It's that maturing and growing that we all are to experience. So yes, salvation, the work of an instant. But sanctification, being made like Jesus, is the work of a lifetime. It tells us in Romans 8:28-29, how all things work together for good. And that good, it says, is to mold us, conform us into the image of Jesus. And again, we want that right now. I mean, it's still true. You're trying to make me like Jesus, so go for it. Well, the Lord is gracious. He knows what we're made of. He knows we can handle. He knows how much fire this clay can handle in the furnace. He knows how soft I am, how brittle I can be. And He says, no, it's going to be a process because it's from His loving hand. Do I trust that process? Lord, You say it's little by little, then so be it. Just have Your way in it. But now notice this. Look at verse 30 again. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you. I don't know if you noticed, but if you read through here, we won't count them all, but you notice all the I wills of God. Look at verse 27. I will send. I will cause. Will make all your enemies. Verse 28. I will send. Verse 29. I will not drive them out, but He will do this other. Verse 30. I will drive them out. Verse 31. I will set. Sounds like God is making a commitment here. Sounds like God is declaring a promise, and it's a sure thing. I'm going to do this. It's little by little, but I have, say it time and again, but it's so important. He has said He's begun a good work, and He will complete it. I will do this. But will you trust My methods? Will you trust this whole process? How awesome it is. I have found that God is so totally faithful to His Word. Time and again, and if you travel with the Lord very long, you have too. And how do you ever rank the attributes of God and the character of God and all? You really can't. But I know right up there somewhere for me ranks the faithfulness of God. some friends of ours. He's a pastor of a large church up in the L.A. area. But if you go into his church, right above the doors, it says, "Great is thy faithfulness." Well, every believer declares that. Lord, every day in new ways, I'm discovering the depth of your faithfulness. See, he wants you to discover that. But it could be little by little, day by day, step by step. Wow, God, you are faithful. Whoa, cool. God, you are doing that. Always faithful. He does drive out our enemies. He does deliver us from strongholds. He does give us victory. But it's step by step. This whole maturing process is step by step. It isn't instant victory that lasts our whole lives. It's a journey of faith as God goes before us and deals with things as we need him to. Trust his timing. Trust his means. He is faithful. He says, "I will." But now notice verse 31. He's saying, verse 30, I'll drive him out. Verse 31, he's going to set their boundaries. The end of verse 31. "For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you." Hold it. Wait a minute. What? Lord, you're going to deliver them, and I'm going to drive them out from before you? What's that mean, Lord? That you have your part also. What's our part? Leave your Bible ribbon there. Turn over just a couple of books to the book of Deuteronomy. Sometimes you call it "Do No Wrong to Me," but that's Deuteronomy chapter 7. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Starting verse 17, what do we have before us in Deuteronomy 7, 17? The Lord is once again reiterating how he's going to take them into the land. But he kind of expands on it. He's going to give a little amplification on a few things here that's going to explain how this process is going to work. We're in Deuteronomy 7, 17. "If you should say in your heart, 'These nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them?'" Lord, remember he just said in the other one, "Okay, now go in and I'll deliver them and you're going to drive them out." Lord, wait a minute. That obstacle's too great. That enemy's too big. How am I going to do this? "If you should say, 'These nations are greater, how can I dispossess them?'" What's his answer? Verse 18. "You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt, the great trials which your eyes saw, the signs and the wonders, the mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out. So shall the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you're afraid. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet among them until those who are left, who hide themselves from you, are destroyed. You shall not be terrified of them, for the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you. And the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you, little by little. You'll be unable to destroy them at once, lest the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you and will inflict defeat upon them until they are destroyed. And he will deliver their kings into your hands, and you will destroy their name from under heaven. No one should be able to stand against you until you destroy them." But now notice, "You shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it for yourselves, lest you be snared by it. For it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Nor shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it. You shall utterly detest it and utterly abhor it, for it is an accursed thing." Long portion, I realize that, but I want to read through the whole thing as we consider our part in all this. See, what is their part? He says, "Go in and get them." But Lord, they're bigger than we are. How are we going to do this? What does he say? Verse 18, "Remember well." What are you to remember? Remember who you belong to. Remember who's made. Remember what he delivered you from. In their case, he goes, "Remember how God delivered you from Pharaoh. You remember how mighty Pharaoh looked to you? You were his slaves. But he set you, I set you free from all that," he's saying. "Remember the trials, but you remember also the signs and the wonders." Look at 19. "The mighty hand and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out, so shall he keep on doing." Remember the first thing. How are we going to do this? First of all, remember who's doing it, who you belong to. Verse 21 is awesome, isn't it? Look at that last part there. For the Lord your God, the great and awesome God, is among you. So remember who you belong to here. Look to Him. Don't fall into looking to your own strength or resources. But obey Him. When He says, let that thing go, let it go. When He says, quit doing that thing, quit doing it. Because why? Because to keep it up will ensnare you. It's got you trapped. It's ripping you off. So remember all this. Secondly, keep moving forward. Don't get stuck. Don't be intimidated. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in this world. And keep going forward as God says, as He lights your path, so to speak. Walk in what God's doing. Obey. See, we don't obey because He'll love us. We obey because He does. We obey because it's the place of blessing. That's the place of walking in victory in this promised land. So we obey. We surrender. We have faith. And thirdly, what? And make no deals with that enemy. Make no room for that struggle, that obstacle. Don't give in to that temptation. Don't make deals with the enemy. Go back to our text, and if you turn to Deuteronomy, go back to Exodus 23. Remember the end of that, verse 31? I'll set your boundaries. I'll deliver them, but you're going to have your part in this. Then verse 32, and you shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. Nor they shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. So that clear warning is for our good. As we're going to have experience all He'd have in this promised land, we obey because it's the place of blessing. And we don't make provision for, we don't allow for those things in our life. Since God has committed to giving us the victory, do not ever think that the way to victory is to make a deal with your enemy. Yes, you have areas that you're struggling with. Trust God to deliver you. Don't make a covenant with the enemy. Well, I guess I'll just keep doing that. Can't really seem to get much headway with it. Or I get, you know, he's working in other areas. This one I'll just keep doing. And just the way I am, I can't help it. That is a snare. That's a trap. Again, it's a ripoff. Trust God to deliver you. Don't make a covenant with the enemy, with your flesh. Do not allow for even a little of that sin that you're fighting against. Never say, it's just the way I am. Never say, I guess I'll just have to learn to live with it. Never settle for less than God's full work in your life. Even if this change process is little by little, our part is to let go of, forsake, turn from those things that to not make covenant with, deals with, don't compromise with the God, the little g of the land, of the enemy. And go forward as He gives you victory over each thing. And He will do it if we follow Him. Now rejoice. He will do it if you follow Him. Now there's something else to notice in all this. Since it is little by little, don't get frustrated over the process. Too many Christians get discouraged. Maybe they look around, look how good so-and-so's doing, and I'm still struggling, or I'm not as mature as... Don't get frustrated if your growth in the Lord seems like it's going slow at times. I have found it kind of, there's growth spurts. You know, you go to retreat, and like you make all this headway, all right. But then later on, if you're like, man, I feel like I'm kind of treading water and all. I mean, sometimes you're just doing great. Sometimes you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you go, are you sure, Lord? I mean, Lord, it feels like I'm really... You know, but get the big picture here. You're not what you're going to be, but you're not where you came out of. You're not where you were. He's at work in all this. So don't get frustrated by it. It is a lifelong journey. No one becomes a mature Christian overnight. Now, there are some people that accept the Lord, they take off like a rocket. Sometimes, unfortunately, it's emotionalism and they come back down. But overall, there are some, yeah, we have growth spurts and all, but don't compare. Don't look around. Don't get frustrated. Because maturity, by definition, is just that. It takes time. Nobody's a mature Christian in 1 year. Again, you're not going to arrive really this whole year. Now, do we get victory over particular things? Yes. Are strongholds broken? Yes. But when that chapter's done, it's not like, okay, I'm at the end of the book. No, he starts a new chapter. I smile sometimes because people will say that to me. You know, when the Lord gets victory in this area of my life, I'll be done. And I go, well, no. You'll be done with that chapter, but he'll show you something else. People often say, like, if I just get victory over this particular thing in my life or something. And I go, well, that's cool. And yeah, turn from that. Let him strengthen you, give the victory, but be prepared. It's going to be little by little. Just like physical growth takes a while, maturity. Same spiritually. It's a lifelong journey, really. So understand that and don't get frustrated by that process that you see, are seemingly under construction all the time, because we are. But, you know, even that freeway project, yes, they do finally finish that bridge or they finish that curb or something, and you do make progress, but then, yeah, we move on to something else because that's how it is in that example. But that's how it is in our lives, too. So recognize the maturity takes place over the long haul. Yes, obey him. Don't allow for anything. Don't say, well, I guess we'll just have this. No, get victory. Let that chapter have victory written across it. But be prepared for the next chapter. So yes, obey. No, don't compromise. Just don't get frustrated that you haven't arrived yet. It's little by little. As we inherit the land that God has for us, the land representing walking in this place of a spirit-filled, spirit-led life, as we inherit that, remember, God said he will do it. He will go with us and be for us, and he will complete that work he's begun. So it's not by letting the enemy dwell in the land. It's by walking with Jesus and letting him drive out your enemies little by little, giving those victories to us. This morning, be encouraged. If you feel like you're in a battle, it's because you are. You feel like you're under construction, it's because you are. But remember, the Lord has said he will go with you and before you, and he will give you the victory. That his plan is unfolding, that he is working all things for good, that he is molding and shaping us into the image of Jesus. What's our part? What do you say? Remember who he is. Remember who you belong to, that great and awesome God. Remember who he is and obey him. Do what he says. Surrender to him. Be faithful. And lastly, make no deals with the enemies in your life. Verse 30, little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you've increased and you inherit the land. I'm going to invite the worship team up to wrap us up. If you need a prayer this morning, there'll be prayer partners here by the prayer room. They'd count it a privilege to pray with you. Much going on around here. We encourage you. There will be communion after this service. If you didn't have a chance to come out midweek and go to our midweek communion time, about 10, 15 minutes after we wrap it up here, there'll be communion. If you did come out to communion but want to partake again, please come join us. That'll be just a little while after we wrap up this service. We'll have a communion time together. Make sure you say hi to Pastor Ben here on his visit. Make sure you say hi to one another. Again, get prayer. Don't leave wishing you'd gotten prayer and all. Well, let's pray. Father, for that which we have looked at this morning, help us now to go out and be doers. Help us to let you speak to us and move us forward in this whole awesome process. Father, thank you that you commit to us to travel with us, that even though it's an under construction process, a little by little process, a step-by-step journey, that you are indeed faithful and that you will do these things. Lord, help us. Help us be found those not wandering in wilderness, but living in that spirit-filled life, that place of experiencing the promises and blessing and watching you give victories and move us forward in this whole awesome journey that you put us on. So, Lord, in all of this, we recognize there's so much comfort, so much encouragement. Help us lay hold of it all. And in the end, Lord, may the whole journey have given you glory. So we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.